Well, hello. It's lovely to be with you this morning as we kick off our summer series entitled Dear Timothy. We're peering over the shoulder of a young man as he reads a letter that he's received. Letters don't get written in chapters, but by the time this letter appears in our Bibles, the part we're looking at today has become chapter one. And we're looking at the encouragement in there to hold on to our sincere faith. So a bit about the background. Who's writing to whom and why? Well, the letter is addressed to Timothy, who had grown up in Lystra in modern-day Turkey, son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother. Fast forward a few years and the letter is being delivered to his address in Ephesus, an important port and commercial centre in Greece, where he's now leading the church. Ephesus had a pagan temple to the Roman goddess Diana, and the silversmiths there had rioted when the Christian message was first preached, fearing loss of earnings from the sale of their silver figures, idols, to Diana. So Timothy was leading church in quite a hostile environment. The letter is from his older friend and mentor, Paul. He was a passionate, well-educated and highly religious Jew. In his early years, he was well known for using his zeal against the Christians, not only in Jerusalem, but pursuing them as they fled for their lives to Damascus and beyond. After his dramatic conversion, Paul travelled around much of the known world, preaching the good news of Jesus, establishing churches, teaching and making disciples, and frequently finding himself in trouble for it. Which is why the letter arriving on Timothy's doormat came all the way from a prison cell in Rome. Paul and Timothy had met at Lystra when Paul was preaching there, and as a result, Timothy became a Christian. Paul saw Timothy's potential and began to encourage and mentor him as he grew in his faith. He took him with him as he travelled to other towns, establishing Christian communities. They became very close, and Paul was like a spiritual father to him and often refers to him as his son in the faith. So it's no surprise that the letter starts like this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. So, this is number one. This is the reason for Paul's letter to Timothy. Instead of remaining true to the sound teaching of Paul, who had established the church in Ephesus, false doctrines and arguments were rife, and Paul is writing to Timothy about putting an end to this false teaching and the importance of holding on to his faith. Faith to hold on to is built on truth. The church has a responsibility to faithfully teach biblical truth. We have a responsibility to build our lives on it, to put our faith in it and hold on to our faith. As Paul did to Timothy, we can encourage one another to hold on. Secondly, we need to hold on to faith in a secular or hostile culture. In Ashford, we're not part of a church that teaches anything other than the truth of the gospel and the Bible. But we live in a world and a culture that believes and is built on many other things. So the message to hold on to our faith is to us too. If we're going to go wider into our community and encounter different cultures, we need to go deeper in our faith and hold on. That's not always easy when there's so much around us that's based on other things. I hold on to my sincere faith that Jesus is the Son of God in a world where other religions would disagree. I hold on to my sincere faith that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And the natural world isn't functioning at the direction of Mother Nature. I hold on to my sincere faith that God will protect me when my friends are looking for wood to touch in the hope that that might divert a disaster about to happen. I hold on to my belief that God has good plans for me that don't have as a priority me getting everything that I want. Faith to hold on to needs to be built on the firm foundation of truth, the truth found in the Bible, the truth of the gospel. Jesus said, "I am the truth." If we build our lives on lies and half-truth, it's like trying to build a wall on top of a pile of rubble. Sooner or later, it will come crashing down. Jesus himself told a story about a wise and a foolish house builder. He commended the wise guy for building on a solid rock foundation and called the guy who started building on the beach foolish. Jesus said his teaching was the good foundation, but more than that, it's acting on the truth, living our lives by it, that is like being a wise builder. Listening to even the teaching of Jesus and not acting on it is like the man who built the sandcastle. Thirdly, God's work in our lives is by faith. Hang on to it. That's in verse 4. Faith in God is the vital starting point for living the life God wants us to live. God's plan for our lives is known by faith. We become Christians by admitting that we can't live to God's standards and repenting of all the ways that we've displeased God, receiving his forgiveness and his gift of the Holy Spirit. We do this by faith, and it is by continuing to live in faith that our lives are transformed. Alpha's a brilliant course to help us discover the answers to questions and to discover how we might be able to put our faith in Jesus. Fourthly, out of our sincere faith, pure heart and good conscience, love grows. We're at verse 5. So love is our goal, and it comes from three things: sincere faith, pure heart and good conscience. J.B. Phillips' translation of the Bible puts it like this: the ultimate aim of the Christian ministry, after all, is to produce the love which springs from a pure heart, a good conscience and a genuine faith. Our lives can go badly wrong if we don't keep our lives pure, if we don't heed our conscience and we don't hold on to our faith. But if we do, love grows. Possibly my favourite Bible verse is from Philippians. It's chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can't go far wrong. And fifthly, hold on to your faith in the gospel. This is verses 10 and 11. Paul knew the law very well. He was an expert in it. But it alone is not the answer. The Old Testament law is good and has a legitimate purpose. But Paul says the answer is this: the wholesome teaching of the glorious gospel, which the blessed God has given and entrusted to me. It's the gospel and only the gospel that has the power to change lives. Hold on to your faith in the gospel. And sixthly, hold on to your faith in God's grace, love and mercy. This is verse 14. God's grace, love and mercy have been poured out abundantly. Hold on to your faith in God's generosity. Paul's life-changing experience started his lifelong discovery of God's kindness to him, which he became increasingly aware of throughout his life. This is how he describes his debt to Jesus. This is verses 12 to 16. I am deeply grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom I owe all that I have accomplished, for trusting me enough to appoint me his minister, despite the fact that I had previously blasphemed his name, persecuted his church and insulted him. I believe he was merciful to me, because what I did was done in the ignorance of a man without faith. Our Lord poured out his grace upon me, giving me tremendous faith in and love for himself. This statement is completely reliable and should be universally accepted. Christ Jesus entered the world to rescue sinners. I realise I was the worst of them all, and that because of this very fact, God was particularly merciful to me. It was a kind of demonstration of the extent of Christ's patience towards the worst of men, to serve as an example to all who should in the future trust him for eternal life. Looking back over his life from his prison cell, Paul is humbled by God's mercy and kindness to him, honoured to be chosen by God to minister, despite persecuting Christians, blaspheming the name of Jesus and insulting him. He describes himself as the worst of sinners, but however he's feeling about himself, he holds on to his faith. We all have a story to tell, our story. Wherever we are on our faith journey, there was a time when we were somewhere else on the journey. And there's a story of how you got to where you are. And it's a story of God's faithfulness. Just hold on to your faith in your story and tell it whenever you get the opportunity. That's a brilliant way that we can all reach more people. Reach wider. Number 7. Christ Jesus entered the world to rescue sinners. Hold on to your faith in this. Verse 15. Paul slips this into the middle of telling his story. He says this statement is completely reliable and should be universally accepted. Paul is really emphasizing the essence of the gospel, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Nothing will prevent him holding on to that. We hold on to this too. 8. Fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. This is 18 and 19, the verses. Firstly, A. Fight with the words God has spoken to you. Timothy had some prophetic words spoken over his life, things that God had said to him, and Paul tells him to use these to fight well with. These are they. Timothy, my child, I entrust to you this command, which is in accordance with the words of prophecy spoken in the past about you. Use those words as weapons in order to fight well, and keep your faith and a clear conscience. If you know that God has spoken to you, hang on to the things he said, and keep reminding yourself of them. Your faith grows as you declare what you know God has encouraged you with in the past. And B, fight the good fight and hold on to faith when you're in a battle. Sometimes there are battles to face in our lives. It's in challenging times that we really need to hold on to our faith. When everything's going wrong and our world seems to be breaking into pieces, that's exactly the time to hold on to sincere faith. And a good time for those around you to encourage you to hang on too. The last few weeks have provided most of us with some challenges, haven't they? When my husband Graham was given a terminal cancer diagnosis, we used words that God had spoken to him years before about facing the biggest fight of his life and winning every round. They helped us fight our way through exactly as Paul is urging Timothy to do. They are weapons to use to fight well and keep the faith. It's faith that you need to win the small and the big battles. It's almost 6 years since Graham died. At the moment when he took his last breath, I was able to hold on to my faith and trust God for my future. But then I'd walked with Graham as he'd patiently suffered and died, holding on to his faith in his heavenly future. And he is my hero. So here's a recap of where we've been. And the encouragement is to us, hold on to your sincere faith. Encourage one another. If you're young in the faith, like Timothy, look to those who are further on in their journey. If you've been a Christian a long time, make it your business to encourage those starting the faith journey. And as Paul concludes, to the eternal King, immortal and invisible, the only God, to him be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen.